Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm having to go just before 9 o'clock, so Pastor Clive will sort of finish off where I leave off this morning. Now, in these last few weeks, God has, I trust, made all of us aware of just how totally useless self-dependence is. I think we've got that. And therefore, he's done a lot in sorting out our relationship with him and the fact that our dependence needs to be on him. I think if anybody had any issues with anybody else, they would have got sorted on Sunday morning. It was that kind of a morning, wasn't it, where I don't think anybody would dare to hold on to anyone after the way the Spirit moved. So God has, if you like, been sorting things out in relation to him and in relation to one another. Now, for the rest of this term, the focus will be on the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have the Holy Spirit living within us because we're born again and we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But you see, while there is self-dependence, there is not dependence on the Holy Spirit. You cannot depend upon the Spirit and yourself at the same time. It has to be one or the other. While we have issues with one another, there cannot be unity in the Spirit. And as we saw on Sunday morning, that affects our relationships with others, and as Jesus made abundantly clear, it affects deeply our relationship with him, making it impossible for us to depend upon him in the way that he desires. Even just an issue with one person has that effect, as we saw dramatically, not just heard, but as we saw dramatically on Sunday. Now, if we have died to ourselves, we don't need to put the focus on ourselves, but on the one who lives within us. Now, the first thing that we have to recognize is that it's not something, but someone who lives within you. It's not just a blessing from God or an anointing from God. The anointing is the Holy One. The anointing is the Holy Spirit within you. Now, we know we ought, therefore, to depend upon the Spirit and not ourselves. The question that confronts us really is, well, how do we do that? What God wants us to understand, and we won't get through all this morning, but in these coming weeks, for the rest of term, is what the Holy Spirit's ministry is to us, in us, and through us. And you have to understand all three of those if the Holy Spirit is really to work in your life in the way that he desires. Now, it may sound that what I'm going to say is very obvious. It seems very obvious. But actually, in experience, it is far from obvious. No matter where you are, the Holy Spirit is always the same within you. No matter what you're doing, the Holy Spirit is always the same within you. No matter watch your circumstances. The Holy Spirit is always the same within you. No matter how you feel, the Holy Spirit is always the same within you. No matter what problems you face, the Holy Spirit is always the same within you. No matter what persecution you face and accusations come against you, the Holy Spirit is always the same within you. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit never changes. And just because we're going through some difficulty, God does not remove the Holy Spirit from us. In fact, when we go through those difficulties, we are likely to depend upon Him more than when we're not aware of our need of Him. The reason why God has taken us through all this dying to self business and dying to sin and all the rest of it is to show us that it's not just a good thing to depend upon the Holy Spirit. It is vitally necessary for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in our lives. His purposes for your life can only be fulfilled through the Spirit. Not through anything you do, but only through what He does through you. This is what God has planned for you. The good works that He has prepared for you to walk in are the good works that the Holy Spirit will do for you, in you, and through you. So, the very fact that the Holy Spirit within us is always the same should teach us not to depend upon mood and feelings. Yesterday morning we had a good, rejoicing, faith-building time at the 8 o'clock because somebody up the front helped you to stir up the gift within you. But the gift was already there. And what God wants us to understand is that we should not depend upon outward stimuli to stir up the gift, but to depend upon the gift, no matter how we feel, no matter what situation we're in, what circumstances confront us, all the time, the Holy Spirit is the same within us. And Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans that this Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So there is limitless power in the one who is within you, no matter how you feel or what circumstances you're in. The enemy wants you to be soulish, not spiritual. To be soulish is to put the focus on yourself. To be spiritual is to put your focus on the Spirit within you. He wants you to be soulish. What is a soulish believer? One who is being led, motivated, under the impact of his feelings or of the way he thinks, and therefore is inclined to make decisions according to his will rather than God's will. He wants you to live at the feeling level instead of the faith level. Yes. And whenever Christians are going through problems, they usually say, I feel this, I feel this, I feel this. And that's their undoing. Because if you're focusing on your feelings, you are not focusing on the Spirit. Yes. Because the Spirit is not a feeling, the Spirit is God. Yeah. Amen. Now, you can only have the Holy Spirit within you because God has given you a new spirit. When Ezekiel is making this great promise, about the new covenant, that God will give us a new heart, put a new spirit within us, he is actually really talking not so much about the Holy Spirit, but you will have a new human spirit within you, because that human spirit will be brought to life by the Holy Spirit. So God could not come and live in your spirit that was, to all intents and purposes, dead or in a deep coma because you had never been alive in the spirit. He gives you a new spirit, and it's made new, it's energized, it's filled with life and power by the Holy Spirit. And God has given you a new spirit energized by his spirit, so that that can now be the leading, guiding principle of your life. At that time when God gave you a new spirit, he made you a son of God. And the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But you couldn't be led by the Spirit of God until you had a new spirit energized by the Holy Spirit. Now God wants to teach you that spirit is always the same, no matter how you feel, no matter what mood you're in. Even if you have sinned and messed up, the spirit is still there within you. He is still there. God has not removed his spirit from you. He's just waiting for you to get done with the sin, repent, and come back to your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. You already have eternal life because you're a believer. Now, eternal life is God's life. This is the life that is conveyed to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, if you like, the agent by which God imparts to you all that he wants to impart to you. The agent through whom he does in you all that he wants to do in you. The agent through whom he wants to work through you to impact the world. Everything that God does in your life, he does by the Holy Spirit. If you receive healing, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. If you receive revelation, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. If you have some kind of deliverance from some situation or problem, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that God does in your life, he does by the Spirit. He has no other way of working except by his Spirit in your spirit. Your soul can only be impacted because God has done something in your spirit by his spirit. Your body can only be set free, healed, or whatever, because God has done something in your spirit by his spirit. That has then given life to your mortal body. So everything in our lives is really dependent upon the activity of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God wants us to depend completely on the Holy Spirit. Now, without going through all the stuff that we've gone through in these last weeks, you would not have recognized your need to depend upon the Spirit. It would have been a good thing to do, but you would have prayed more along the lines, "Help me, Holy Spirit, to do it." Now you understand that me isn't supposed to do it. But he is supposed to do it. He will do it in you and through you. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit in your spirit has got to express himself in your life. So he needs your soul. Your spirit has been saved. Your soul is being saved. And your body on the day of judgment will be saved. Amen. And you will have a new resurrection body. It's this whole process of salvation that is continuing in our lives. So God has to impact our soul life, our soul life, self life, our natural life, that is, with his Spirit, so that he expresses his love, his life, his joy, his peace, whatever, in our spirit. But it's not human love and human joy and human this, that, and the other. It's the fruit of his Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, plus all the other ways in which the Holy Spirit is described in Scripture. So he needs your soul life to express the life of the Spirit within you. But the only way that that can happen is not by you trying to be what God wants you to be, but by allowing the Spirit to flow through your soul. And we know, we've done the diagrams so many times, that means we keep the soul submitted to the Spirit. Because if we don't keep the soul submitted to the Spirit, the soul rises up and takes the central place and therefore grieves the Spirit. So it's always a question of, well, who has that central place in my life? And it has to be the Holy Spirit. Now, how does this function in practice? I'm going to sort of do an overview this morning, and we'll go into some more detail in the next 2 or 3 weeks. First of all, his ministry to you. Now, it's interesting that Jesus spoke very little about the Holy Spirit during the course of his ministry, as far as the biblical records go. There wasn't very much point in him speaking much about the Spirit until it was going to be possible for people to receive the Holy Spirit, and that would only be possible after the cross and the resurrection. It's made clear, isn't it, in chapter 7 of John, that when he's saying, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and drink," John explains, "This he said of the Spirit that was not yet given because he was not yet glorified." So because that cross, resurrection, glorification had not yet happened, Jesus didn't speak very much about the Holy Spirit until we come to the Last Supper, when, of course, he was preparing the disciples to receive this precious gift. "He who is with you will be in you." So Jesus would live in them in the power of his risen, glorified Spirit. Now, what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit when he is preparing them? He doesn't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. No mention of tongues or of the other gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't talk about the fruit of the Spirit . There's no mention, like Paul does in Galatians, of all the various aspects of the life of God that he will create within you. No mention of the gifts, no mention of the fruit, no mention even of the power. When he appeared to them in his risen body, he promised them, "You will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you." But when Jesus is talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, preparing them to receive this gift, there's no mention of gifts, of fruit, of power. Where does he put the emphasis? He puts the emphasis not on what the Holy Spirit is going to produce through you, but what the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you. What he is going to do for you. Because everything comes out of what you allow him to do for you. So, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you into all the truth. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry to you. He will then create in your soul life all the gifts, all the fruit, and he will show you how to use the gifts so that you can be a blessing to other people. But first of all, the Holy Spirit's ministry to you is to guide you into all the truth. Jesus says the Holy Spirit's ministry is to take the things of Jesus, what Jesus has said and done, and declare them to you. So the Holy Spirit keeps you Jesus conscious and Jesus centered. That's his ministry to you. All the fruit and the gifts and the power and everything else is going to flow out of the way the Holy Spirit ministers to you. So he guides you into all the truth. He takes the things, all that Jesus has said and done, and declares them to you. So the Holy Spirit lives within you to keep you focused on Jesus and what he has done. Not what he needs to do, but what he has done. Because everything that Jesus needs to do in your life comes out of what he has done. Now, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit never operates in your life without the cross. This is why Jesus made it clear that they would not be able to receive the Holy Spirit until he had returned to glory. Why the Word of God makes that clear. Very important for us to understand. That what the Holy Spirit does is to take what has been accomplished through the cross and the resurrection, but principally through the cross. He takes what is through the cross, has been done through the cross, and he keeps declaring it to us. Now you see, this is what he has been doing in the last few weeks. So how does this work? You have died. You see, you are struggling with something and you are trying to resolve it in your own strength with your soul life, and the Holy Spirit gets you focused back on what Jesus has done and principally on the work of the cross, and he says, you have died. That's the secret. That's what you need to hear. In the midst of that struggle, you have died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So he is the Holy Spirit of truth who's guiding you into all the truth of the Word. To say that the Spirit and the cross work together is the same as saying the Spirit and the Word are working together in our lives, because the Word reveals to us what it is that Jesus has done. The significance of the cross. So you're struggling with something in some area of your life, and the Holy Spirit, you can do all kinds of things. You can go into all kinds of contortions. You can go and have counseling. You can go and pray your heart out. But the Holy Spirit, if you listen to him, he will simply say, you have died. He will get you focused back on the truth. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So what's all this silly stuff going on in your life? Why get seduced in your thinking, your emotions, and the way you're responding to circumstances in that negative way? You have died. Hello?
Yes.
When you are assailed by some kind of temptation, the Holy Spirit is not there to strengthen you. Oh, trust me, and we'll repel the salvation. The temptation. He says, no, you have died. You have died to sin. You have died to sin. You see, he will constantly remind you of the truth. But of course, we have to be open to listen to what he is saying. And the trouble with the soul is the soul gets so occupied that it becomes preoccupied with itself and with trying to resolve situations. Hello? Trying to fight our way through, trying to struggle our way through circumstances to come to a place of peace. But the only way of coming to a place of peace is the way the Spirit leads us. And the way the Spirit leads us is to guide us into all the truth, to remind us of what Jesus has done, to remind us of the cross, to remind us of the victory that has already been won. How many people have been healed? I mean, Watchman Nee has a testimony, like I've heard many other with a similar testimony, where he was seriously ill, in bed, dying, reading his Bible, reading Isaiah 53, by his stripes you are healed. He believed it, got up out of his bed, totally healed. Simply because at that moment, the Holy Spirit brought that word to his heart. And he said, what am I doing here, lying in bed sick? I've been healed. And he got up and was healed. You see, that's different. That's revelation. That's the Spirit declaring it to you. That's different from saying, by his stripes I've been healed, by his stripes I've been healed, by his stripes I've been healed. That's the soul trying to do something spiritual in a soulish way. Are you with me? But when we listen to the voice of the Spirit, then what he says produces life in us. He gives life to us. Are you there? Because he is the life of God within you. So all the time, you know, you can spend hours and hours in prayer, and actually you can waste hours and hours in prayer about situations. Whereas sometimes what you need to do is just shut up, sit down, and listen to what God is saying. That's why it says in the Scripture we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. If we're not praying out of revelation of the Spirit, probably most of our prayer is pretty useless. But when we're praying in the Spirit, when we're praying out of the revelation that the Spirit gives us, then our prayer will be powerful and effective. Why? Because the Spirit of God himself, and let's face it, it's only God who can answer prayer, but the Spirit of God himself is leading our prayer, guiding our prayer, informing our prayer, filling our prayer, even giving us the words to pray. And I don't mean in tongues, I mean in your own language. Showing you what to pray, what to believe. So you see, it's all a question of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We have this soulish attitude towards prayer. Well, if I pray about this situation, and I pray about this situation, and I pray about this situation, I pray about this situation, then I've fulfilled my responsibility in prayer. I've covered all the bases. I wonder sometimes how effective prayer like that really is. Because what I've discovered over the years is that when God tells you what to pray and gives you what to pray, there is such a sense of his presence and power in the praying, let alone in what happens as a result, that is totally different, transcends praying for various things almost out of a sense of duty. This is what we ought to do about this situation or about this group of people. You see, the value is not in the prayer itself, but the value is in the power of the Spirit in the prayer.
Yes.
That's why Paul says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray. In your soul, you do not know how to pray, the Scripture says. But the Spirit will inform your prayer. the Spirit will give you the words to praise. So when you pray, you always need to be open to the leading, the guiding of God's Spirit. Consciously depending upon the Spirit. And those of us that lead prayer, we have the responsibility of coming to the prayer meeting with revelation from the Spirit. Not as just what to pray, who to pray for, or what areas need prayer, but we come with revelation from God about how to pray, what to believe, and with promises of what He's going to do as a consequence. You know, sometimes I've had people say, well, we ought to get together and wait on God and see what He says. That's almost always a recipe for disaster. Because you get a group of people together like that, and how are you going to discern those that are speaking from the soul and those that are speaking from the Spirit? Every time I've seen a group of people do that kind of thing, it's gone way out, way wrong. Because you see, God speaks, and when we come, even if it's a group of people coming together to pray, we ought to be coming together with revelation we've already received from God. Well, the Holy Spirit told me, well, I believe God said this. And you pull that and you share that. Why? Because you've been listening to God. It's not dependent upon the moment. This is what I'm saying to you. You do not depend upon a moment, because even if you hear God in a moment, you've still got to test what He's saying. But you see, you get a group of people that have been listening to God. They come together, they pool what they have been hearing, and then you see, you can discern. Yeah, look, the Spirit of God is saying similar things to all these different people. That one, that seemed a bit way out. Let's just hold that at arm's length for a moment. But we get the drift of what the Spirit is saying, and there's already a unity there because the Spirit of God has already been. See, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. Guiding you into the truth, showing you what to pray, showing you what to believe, showing you how to pray. And this is where Jesus put the emphasis at the Last Supper. What you need to understand, He was really saying, if we can paraphrase, what you really need to understand, disciples, is that it's a good thing that I'm going to leave you, because something even more wonderful is going to happen to you. I'm going to give you another counselor who is exactly like me, but this counselor will be in you, and he will give you counsel in every situation. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the difficulty is. It doesn't matter what confronts you. He will always be your counselor. Amen. And part of the promise of the new covenant is they will all know me. It won't be like the old covenant where only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But no, under the new covenant, they will all know me. They will all have my Spirit. They will all have the counselor living within them. But you see, at the same time, we're made members of the body of Christ. So the counselor will not lead us in 100 different directions at the same time. The Holy Spirit will always guide us in such a way that we go ahead in unity. And if there isn't any unity, somebody isn't listening to the Holy Spirit. As we saw on Sunday, the devil wants to divide. And when there's any issue between two people, there is immediately division. That's a work of the devil. We can't dress it up. That's a work of the devil. The Holy Spirit unites, the devil divides. So we stand against all the work of the devil, and we're so submitted to the Holy Spirit of God that He draws us together in unity. He makes it possible for us to move ahead with one heart and one mind. because there is only one Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who lives in you is the same as the Holy Spirit who lives in me, as the same as the Holy Spirit who lives in Pastor Clive or in anybody else. The same person of God. But what we have to learn to do first and foremost, before ever we think of how can I use the gifts of the Spirit more effectively in my life? Oh, how can I see more of the fruit in my spirit? The key to all that is allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you in the way that Jesus says. You see, one of the soulish things about believers is they want experiences. It can be a soulish thing to want to know the presence of God. Wonderful when God reveals his presence. But it's soulish to depend upon the presence of God, the feelings of the presence of God. Point is, he is present all the time, even when you have absolutely zippo feelings of his presence. And the people of faith depend upon him irrespective of feelings, irrespective of circumstances, irrespective of who's saying or doing what. Therefore, what he is wanting to form within us is a consistency of dependence upon him. You are my counselor, Holy Spirit. You lead me. You equip me. You enable me. But you see, how can I use the gifts of the Spirit if I don't know the direction of the Holy Spirit? That's the first thing, first and foremost. So God has been doing a work in us to say, well, I can't do anything of myself. I don't even know how to pray. I can't worship without the Spirit, because the only kind of worship that is acceptable to God is that which is in spirit and truth. So actually, I can't do anything of myself that is going to please God. And the reason why he brings me to that conclusion is because his Spirit is in me. And therefore, I have to give him the room. I have to give him the space. Now, John reminds people in his first epistle, you have the anointing of the Holy One, and that anointing remains. You don't have just an anointing from the Holy One. You have the anointing of the Holy One. It is the Spirit of holiness. It is the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Hallelujah. So, he lives within you, and he is going to express his life through you, but only if you let him minister to you. In practice, this means that you give up trying to do stuff. You see, before I come in here and speak, whether it's a lecture or whatever it is, I'm there in my office. What am I saying to the Lord? I'm not saying, oh Lord, you know, I need the anointing. Because he says, I have the anointing. So am I just going to come sort of tripping in here thinking, well, I got the anointing, so it's going to be all right? No, not exactly. I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, without the anointing, this will be rubbish. Without the anointing, nothing is going to happen in the hearts and lives of your people. So I thank you for the anointing, and I depend completely upon the anointing now of your Spirit. Just speak through me, let me be your mouthpiece, and so on. You see, it's learning to actually put the principles that we've been talking about these past weeks in practice. Because anybody can speak out of his knowledge of spiritual things, especially if you have experience. In fact, the danger of having experience is that it's easier and easier to speak out of your knowledge rather than to have the Holy Spirit minister through you. But you see, first and foremost, I was telling your second year students yesterday, your ministry is to the Lord, not to the people. I told you that word that was given me just before my ordination, where this elderly believer said to me, this is gold dust, it's marked my ministry in a profound way. He said, Colin, never minister to the people. Always minister to the Lord, then he will minister to the people. So you see, my ministry is to the Lord, not to you, to the Lord. If my ministry is to the Lord, then I'm going to say what he wants me to say and do what he wants me to do. I'm not here to try to impress you by anything that I say. It's not a question of whether you think well of me or whether you like the word or whether you appreciate the word or anything. The only thing that matters is whether it's the word he wanted me to bring. I'm putting this, you've got to see how it works, in not just in me, but in any individual. So in whatever situation, it's what you want to say. Isn't this how Jesus operated? I speak no words of my own. You see, it's not a question of, well, I know a little bit about the Holy Spirit, so I can tell them a bit this morning about the Holy Spirit. No, it's what he wants to say. It's what he wants to do in any particular situation. Not just in meetings, you see, because we're not just talking about speaking at a meeting. You are going to be speaking to people all day long. What matters is that when you speak to them, you speak what the Lord wants you to say. Not rubbish and nonsense and opinions and a whole lot of stuff that comes out of selfish soulishness. But your mouth is to be a fountain of life, according to the Bible. Amen. It's a spring of living water. Amen. You have within your mouth the power of life and death. Well, better to use it for life than death. But you see, our ability to impact the lives of others around us has to come out of the way we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Because what you're saying is, I can't, but thank you, Lord, you are within me. It's not dependent upon whether I feel your anointing, whether I've got a tingle down my spine, whether I'm shaking with the anointing. It's got nothing to do with that. It's not whether I'm bobbing up and down or doing a hop or whatever. It's all dependent upon whether I give way to you. So that I allow you to minister to me and therefore through me. Are we getting this? The difference is in the effect, is in the fruit, in the way people's hearts are impacted by what you say and what you do. When it comes from the Holy Spirit within you, there's going to be impact. Sometimes it's going to shake people. Sometimes it's going to bless people, but it will always be good for people. Yes. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Yes. So one of the things we learn in ministry, not just in platform ministry, but in our ministry to other people, is we are never out to impress anyone. Only to be faithful to what the Lord is wanting to say and do. Therefore, our dependence is on Him. Now, let me just tell you one more thing before I have to go. When you depend upon the Holy Spirit, there are absolutely zero feelings. The feelings will tend to be the soul rather than the spirit. You know, if somebody says, "Oh, I'm really up for it tonight," I thought, where's this going to come from? Because you see, the revelation of the Spirit contains no feelings. The Holy Spirit has emotion. The emotion of the Spirit is what we call the witness of the Spirit. But the witness of a Spirit is when you sense something, but you don't feel it. There's a difference. There's a difference. Again, if I just use because I was reading an email just before I came, an illustration I used with the second years yesterday. In June, when I was in Germany, the precious family, the pastor and his children have been friends of ours for many years. And the elder daughter, Rachel, she was a student here about 5 years or so ago. And her younger sister is another very precious believer, Deborah. And just before we were leaving, I knew that Deborah had been going through a bit of a struggling time with some personal issues in her life. But I hadn't had any real time to talk with her because I'd been so busy with the ministry while I was there. And just as Caroline and I were preparing to leave, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Go and talk to Deborah and tell her I've got a husband for her." Now, I do not like to give those kind of words because if it comes from the soul, it's going to lead to a lot of frustration, disappointment in people's lives. But I felt this so clearly, you see, the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit leads you, this is the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not a sensation. You just have this witness. This is something you must do. Now, this was the beginning of June. So I went to her and I just said to her, "Deborah, I believe that this is a word from God that He's telling me to tell you that He has got," apparently the words I used, "He has got a beautiful husband for you that He has already assigned to you and to whom He will lead you," something like that. Last week I got an email from her, June, now November, asking me to take her wedding next year. So I couldn't do the dates because it coincided with Faith Camp, but now I got an email this morning to say they've changed the date so that I can go and do the wedding. But you see, that's just a little example. Not a particularly important one, but important for her. But you see, this is just learning to be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. And no, I'm not going to have any words of knowledge for anybody else this morning concerning a future married partner. Hallelujah. But leave your money at the door and I'll pray about it. So, it's good, you see, when you obey the leading of the Spirit. Because good will always come out of it. But how dangerous if you take matters into your own hands because you want to encourage someone and start saying stuff that comes from your soul rather than from the Spirit. And that's where, with experience, God teaches us. And I suppose we all make mistakes when we're learning. But it's very important, especially if you're going to speak a word of direction. This is why, you know, we tell you not to speak directive words to one another. Until we're at the point where, you know, we can have some confidence that what is going to come out really is going to be from God, from the Spirit, and not from the soul. So, where does this leave us? Things like that happen out of the fact that you are living dependent on the Spirit. It's not just a haphazard thing that at a particular moment, because I wasn't even thinking of Deborah or marriages or anything like that at the time. Can you understand? But living in dependence upon the Spirit, He can speak to you, He can direct you, He can lead you, He can work through you at any time. Because you're going to become sensitive to His voice, sensitive to the witness of the Spirit, increasingly sensitive. Doesn't mean you'll always get everything right, but it means that you will become increasingly sensitive to the witness of the Spirit. And you will obey what the Spirit is telling you to do. What are we going to do now? We're going to pray. Or you're going to pray. I'm going to leave and go and do what I've got to do. I'm going to leave you to pray. Now, you see, it's not just a question of praying, oh God, I need more of your Spirit. No, no, no. You don't need more of your Spirit, of His Spirit in your spirit, but you need more of His Spirit to impact your soul. Yes. Now, there's different ways in which you can pray for that. You can say, Lord, I want a further release of your Spirit, but it really comes from the dependence of your soul on your Spirit. It comes out of submitting your soul to the Spirit and staying submitted so that you are not going to take the initiative out of the Holy Spirit's hands. But He is the counselor. He is the one who is leading you. He is the one who is declaring to you what God is saying. He is reminding you of the cross. He's reminding you of what God has done. So when you listen to the Holy Spirit, when you pray, it's not just a question of plucking out of the air some wonderful promises, but first and foremost of Him reminding you of the total, complete, thorough, wholehearted victory that Jesus has already won. Yes. So that you will then live in the good of that victory. So let's just stand and just begin to thank the Lord for the gift of the Spirit.
Praise your name, Jesus. Just thank Him that He's baptized you in His Holy Spirit this morning. Thank Him that you are full of His Spirit this morning. Thank Him that you're full of His Spirit this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you filled me to that full measure of who you are. Just thank you for that overflowing life that you already have this morning. Thank you for that overflowing life of His Spirit that is at work in you right now. Just bring your mind under the lordship of the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ, so bring your mind under the lordship of the Holy Spirit. So your thoughts are in line with the mind of Christ, with the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I don't have to have my own opinions and thoughts on things. I can line up my mind with the mind of Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead me and guide me into all the truth in my thinking. So my trains of thought, the thinking that goes on, is submitted to your word, submitted to the truth. That my thinking is positive. My thinking is in line with your word. Just submit your emotions so you're not led by them. But instead we're led, as we've just heard, by that the witness of the Holy Spirit, by the word of God at work in us. Just submit all my emotions, feelings, everything that can go off on the inside of me. I submit all of that this morning to you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you lead and guide me. I thank you for the witness of your Spirit. Thank you for the sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You lead and guide me into all the truth, as your word says. I thank you that because you're in me, Holy Spirit, there's a consistency. There isn't a wavering of going up and down and to the left, to the right. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're consistent. You're constant. And I thank you, as I surrender to you this morning, there's a consistency. It's not by my emotions or circumstances, but there's a consistency of walking with you. Listening to you, being sensitive to you, having the witness of who you are, the witness of your Spirit at work in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're at work in me and through me. Thank you that I can't do anything on my own. In the same way that Jesus said, there's nothing I can do in and of myself. I don't have any words of my own, don't have anything to express of my own. I'm totally dependent on the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a dependence on you, a trust in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just thank Him that He leads you, that He guides you, that He's always willing to speak to you. The Holy Spirit's the lifter of your head. Just look up while you pray for a moment, like with an expectation. That rather than looking for answers in yourself, or looking for value in yourself, or looking for worth in yourself, or looking for your feelings to feel good in yourself, just lift your head and your freedom, your victory, your worth, your identity is in Him and who He is in you. You have the Spirit of truth in you this morning at work, leading and guiding you into all the truth. You have the Holy Spirit, who is the lifter of your head, so that you see Him and who He is. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, you're the victorious one. And I thank you, as I fix my eyes on you, then I walk in that victory. I live in that victory. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the worshiper in me. That in my own strength, I can't worship. But with you, you are the Spirit of worship. I thank you that you are the Spirit of prayer. A lot of the time, I don't know what to pray. But I thank you, your word says that you're the one who shows us, enable us to pray when we don't know what to pray. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of prayer in me. And so I just stop trying to pray now. I stop trying to get somewhere with you now. In my own strength and in my own effort. Father, I stop now trying to get to a place where I think you want me to be. I just let go of all that striving now. All that self-effort, any sense of performance. Where I have to get somewhere in you. I just let go of all of that now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead and you guide me. That you are the source of life in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you lead me into the truth, into a fresh understanding, revelation of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Just thank him that you can live today in the power of the Holy Spirit. That you can live today in the power of his victorious life today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Today, thank him that you can live dependent on him, that you don't have to work out your next steps. You don't have to try and work out how this or that or the other is going to happen. He is the one who works things out. He says, just trust me, be dependent on me. I will show you the way you need to go. I will show you the steps you need to take. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'll show you how you need to walk, how you need to go forward. But just trust me, there's a dependence on me today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. The word says we can give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So even when circumstances don't add up, even when our feelings don't feel they're in line with what we think they should be, we can still give thanks, because the word says give thanks in all, because your thanksgiving is not because of circumstances lining up or because your feelings are good on any particular day, but we give thanks in all circumstances because of who he is in us and what he's doing in us. So, Father, I thank you today that no matter what's going on, I thank you this week, no matter what happened, I can give thanks in all circumstances. I thank you that it's in the giving thanks in all circumstances that I advance and go forward in you, that I live according to your spirit. As I give thanks in the middle of everything that's going on, I thank you as I give thanks to you, you lift me above and beyond the circumstances and the situations, that you lead and guide me into everything that you want me to walk in. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he is your healer. That you don't have to try and get healed. He is your health this morning. Father, I thank you that you are our healing this morning. Thank you that symptoms go, because we can't heal ourselves, but we're totally dependent on you as our healer. You have the healer within you today. So just draw on your healing, that which has already been released and given to you, won for you on the cross. Thank you. You don't have to, like Pastor Colin said, it's not, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Just draw on the healer. No matter what's going on in your body this morning, just draw on the healer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my health this morning. Thank you for my healing. Just receive it now. Just receive my healing right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you just hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, saying, you're healed. You're healed. Somebody here, you just heard the Holy Spirit say to you, I am the Lord, your healer. By his stripes, you are healed. Just receive what is yours this morning. Healing is a gift from God. It's not something you can earn. The same way that there's a gift of the Holy Spirit. The same way Jesus gives you his healing, his health this morning. Somebody here, over the last 24 hours, a bit of a fever has been developing. Your temperature's gone up a bit. You've just felt a little bit, you've just felt unwell all over and a bit, and you were thinking of not coming this morning, just maybe staying in bed or saying, look, I don't feel too good. But as the word was being spoken, you know your temperature went down. The fever was going, as it were. And now you feel, actually, you feel a bit lightheaded, actually, in a good way. You feel like, wow, I just feel totally different now. My body was a bit achy, and I felt hot. And I just felt, you know. But actually now you're like, man, I feel as light as anything. I feel totally free. Because he's your healer. And what you did, instead of submitting to the healing, instead of submitting to the sickness and saying, I'm going to stay in bed, you're like, no, I'm going to go because I want to be, not because I'm supposed to be there. You had a sense of, I want to go because I want to be there, actually. I want to be under the word. I want to be there. I want to hear from God. And as you submitted to the word has done some work in your life this morning, and that fever's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Just make a decision this morning. I choose to submit myself to the word of God today. I choose to submit to what the truth is today. I choose today to live according to the truth, not according to circumstances, not according to somebody else's opinion, not according to any feelings or emotions that might rise up today for whatever reason. I choose to be led by you today, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just lift your hands this morning. Just worship him for a few moments. Just worship him. He's the enabler. He's the guide into all the truth. Just raise your hands. Lift your voice. Lift your head this morning. Look to the one, to where your help comes from. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have lavished me this morning with yourself. You've lavished me with your Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I can draw on you today, live in you today. Be dependent on you today. Be led by you today. Thank you that I don't just live full of you, but I live in the power of who you are today. Thank you for the victory that I have today. Thank you there is provision in you today, in every situation. Thank you, Holy One. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.